Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the TMS Productions podcast. My name is Steven. I am here with Mitchell and Tommy, and we don't have an intro song yet, so we can't put that right here, but
if we did, this is where it would go.
Exactly. We say that every episode. I feel like I know.
One of those things. Use your imagination.
Anyways, for today's episode, we thought we're going to go a little bit away from the filmmaking kind of space. And that's what this podcast is for. We want to talk about things that aren't necessarily strictly filmmaking related, but we're going to be talking about NFTs and cryptocurrency. So
this is like a buzzword.
I know. As of right now, they've been NFTs and cryptocurrency in general, because Bitcoin is currently at an all-time high, has been like, they've been popping off on YouTube lately, and everyone's been talking about what is an NFT? How does an NFT work, and like how they're useful in the digital space.
Yeah. So we kind of want to talk about how they would fit into our life, not lifestyle, our kind of,
and also, yes. And also our experiences with NFTs and what we know about them
exactly.
And kind of like what we could use.
So I think we should start off, because Tommy actually knows virtually nothing about these.
Yes. I know a little bit about cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Nothing. I don't even know what NFT means. So,
yeah. Okay. So NFT is non-fungible token.
Yes.
Which, for the most layman definition I can give before Mitchell gives like a canned Google definition, is it's basically a way of turning anything
in the digital space
into a one-off item.
Oh.
So you can make a JPEG photo. So you can have it. So, because usually with a digital product, you can copy and paste it however many times you want. But with an NFT, you can take this digital item and you can verify it and only have a one of one item on the internet.
Wait, did you say fungible?
Non-fungible token. So, fungible, I think, is copyable.
Know, okay.
As an example, you know how I have a cup right in front of me?
I have a cup right in front of me.
This is the only cup in the world that is exactly like this cup.
Right.
Sure, there is one that they made another one, right? But that's a copy. It has different atoms. It has different, it's made up of different matter.
Yeah.
The non-fungible tokens are basically, how can you make this in the digital space, make a physical-esque object and something that is only has one object in the digital space?
Yeah.
Because usually on the internet or in digital, you can make an exact replica of that.
Yeah.
And it has the exact same bits, like, bytes, and everything.
Exactly.
But it's basically, you can't have a one-off single item.
Yes.
Right. So here's the Google definition of a non-fungible token. It says NFT stands for non-fungible token. NFTs are one-of-a-kind assets in the digital world that can be bought and sold like any other piece of property, but they have no tangible form of their own. The digital token can be thought of as a certificate of ownership for virtual or physical assets.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So it's basically, so the way that this works is through the blockchain, and that's how this is related to crypto. Because if you don't know about cryptocurrency like is verified by the blockchain. So I'm not sure if you know, but there's this ledger that like kind of everything gets compared to. It's the same for NFTs, how they're all verified by the blockchain.
They're all attached to Ethereum. So they use the Ethereum blockchain and all that technology to be able to create these items, which are non-fungible tokens.
So yeah, but now where this gets interesting is in, like, as of recent, this is where it's kind of been used, is in the digital art space. So what you can do is this means with a non-fungible token that you can't just copy and paste anywhere, you can have collectible art on the internet and collectible art that is digital. So do you know who Beeple is?
Beeple underscore crap on
Instagram. Did he do something with Quarter Digital?
He did.
Okay,
he does those every day.
Yeah, so he has, for the last 12 years, has produced a piece of digital art every single day and uploaded it to his Instagram.
Right.
He calls it an every day, and he does this every single day. He hasn't missed a day for 12 years.
We thought out of 52 was good.
I know. And so he actually, a few months ago, has started getting into NFTs and selling his digital art on the blockchain, so there's only one-offs. And he has created art that, so he sells this art and basically has it so you can buy it using Ethereum, and you're the only guy who owns an original, say, 1 out of 100 Beeple photo piece of art.
But you can have like replicas of it. Like, you know how when you search up on Google the Mona Lisa and the Mona Lisa pops up?
Yeah. Well, you can right click and click save photo as. You can see that photo, but you don't actually,
you don't own the photo, right?
Right.
Because the actual one is in Paris.
Does that have any value right now though?
Like, well, yes, it has a lot of value.
Well, yeah. So, a few months ago, he started off with his first, I think, ever run where he sold, around the election time, he sold a piece of digital art, which would, before the election, he sold it for, I think it was like, I don't really know, but a certain amount of money. And his whole thing was that the results of the election were unknown, But as soon as the results of the election were known, the piece of digital art that he created would change to reflect who won the election.
What?
Yeah. So it's a dynamic piece of art.
Yeah, because you can make a video into an NFT. You can. It doesn't just have to be like art that was hanging on the wall. It can be also, you can basically certify and verify your B-roll sequence on the blockchain.
Yeah.
So it can be a moving piece of art, right? Yeah. Because it's in a digital space.
And so, or you can even have it, so this is getting really in the weeds, but with Ethereum, there's something called smart contracts, which are basically conditional contracts that are attached to the currency. So you can say, this contract says, if Biden wins, change this piece of art to this piece of art. Or if Trump wins, change the same piece of art to this other piece of art.
Oh.
So, which is, that's how he was able to execute it and make it. So depending on who won the election, that's how it would basically the moment they knew it would, the piece of art would switch to reflect a Trump or a Biden victory.
Did someone buy it before?
Yeah. So people buy them beforehand.
Well, didn't he? I think he sold them for $1.
He sold them for $1.
He had 100 of them, sold each of them for $1.
And afterwards, they skyrocketed in value because the thing about this is that like they become collectible and people don't really know. Anyways, this all loops back to what he did about 3 days ago. He took a collage.
I'm just saying the Trump and Biden ones, they went from $1 and now they're worth like $60,000 to $70,000.
Yeah, like they're crazy.
Like they just the amount blew of return up in price.
And he's kind of the one.
Does he make the money from that or the people that?
Yeah. No, he makes all the money. He made all the money from this. And it's interesting because
you can also set it up. So if you buy this piece of art, if you sell it to somebody else, once you own it and it goes up to $70,000, if you sell it to somebody else, there can be a royalty kind of contract or part of that contract, which says that even if the person of a friend of a friend sold it to somebody else, like way down this chain, you can still make money from that.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this Beeple guy is doing just fine for himself.
Yeah.
Anyways,
what?
Last 3 days ago, he released this limit. So he's released quite a few other collections since then.
And this is where I found out about NFTs the very first time was because Steven found out about it first. He told me
months ago before basically October time is when I kind of first heard about it, which is before everybody started talking about it. And then
I knew about it before it was
hipster. But I guess 3 days ago, he did this crazy big launch of doing a collage, a 21,000 pixel by 21,000 pixel single photograph, which is a collage of every single everyday he has made for the last 5 years. And it's called The First 5 Years. And this was a one of one photograph on NFT.
This is what it looks like.
That's what it looks like.
Oh, wow.
Right? So it's just a big collage.
It doesn't really look like much.
If you zoom in, you can see each and every single
one. I encourage you to go look this up if you don't know what this is.
Because it's 21,000 pixels. So you could if you want to zoom in.
Yeah, you can.
Can Photoshop make a canvas up?
I don't know. Anyways, this went up for auction. It sold for $69 million.
No, are you serious?
Yeah. It is the most expensive piece of digital art ever sold in history.
No way. 69 million.
I saw this thing for the longest time. It went up. I think I don't know what they started the bid at, but for the longest time it was around $10 million.
What?
And this, I think was, I don't know how
long. It is the announcement partially solved. It is the biggest, the most dramatic transaction in art in world history since Leonardo da Vinci's Salvador Mundi sold for $450 million in 2017. It's the,
what?
Yeah. Yeah, so anyways,
Does he keep all of that?
He makes 69, well, I think there's fees and other stuff, but
right. He
sold it for $69 million. The crazy thing is, the guy who bought this gets nothing tangible. It's just an online file.
Yeah, so he sold a JPEG photo for $69 million.
What a genius.
Yeah, I know. It's nuts. And so I guess what had happened for the longest time during this auction, it was about $10 million, which he was losing his mind. I saw this video of what, anyways, in the last minute of the auction, it went up to $50 million.
What?
And he's like,
people like late bidders kind of?
Yeah, yeah. Like people wait to like basically bid at the last second. Yeah. But the way the auction set up is that if somebody bids, I think over a certain amount within the last minute, it'll reset the timer for one more minute. So it gives people time to say, do another bid. It went up to $50 million. Then it went up to, then I know that someone who has, I think the co-founder of Reddit, I think it was.
I don't know who.
But there was some notable guy from the internet. He publicly said that he bid $60 million.
What?
He was one of the last people to bid. And then at the last second, he got scooped up by an unknown buyer for $69 million.
Oh, of course.
Of course, it's unknown.
Unknown buyer, but it's wild. Like this is, and
of course it's $69 million.
The crazy thing is that he could probably sell that thing for more than $69 million. Oh, he could probably make his money back right now. Like the guy could probably sell it right now for 80.
90 I would do million. It right now. Just oh, be
yeah,
safe.
Just make a quick 30 million on your.
Yeah, and he probably has a royalty contract set up with that NFT to be like, if anybody sells it, Beeple still makes 20% of what they sold it for.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Beeple, he's living.
He is living
doing just fine for himself.
Yeah, this is wild.
I still don't get why you would want.
It's like, know how sports cards and Pokemon cards are super valuable now? It's like that, but in the digital space. So you have...
It's hard to wrap my head around.
I know. Like you own a collectible object that is one of one in the world. Like you have a Charizard, a PSA 10 Charizard. Yeah. And if you have that, it's worth $350,000 right now, or $500,000 or whatever it's going to be. But the thing is, the difference there is that's physical, this is digital. But you are the only person in existence to have one.
Can you, like, could I go if I had the file? Can I copy and paste the file?
No, it wouldn't let you. Well, no. You can paste the file. The thing is, though, is that you can't. But you can't verify. If say, you took this Beeple photograph, that $69 million JPEG, and you went Control-C, Control-V. So you have two copies of it on your desktop.
Yeah.
The verification on the blockchain is only verifying one of those pieces of art. So if you sell it to somebody...
Oh, so it's a letter of authenticity.
It's a letter of authenticity, pretty much. So when you sell it to somebody else, they're going to, and you're selling it for that caliber of money, they're going to be asking you, how do I know that this is authentic and you are the only person who owns this? They're going to be asking for that letter of authenticity.
Right.
And if only one of them has that letter of authenticity, it's basically that means that that's the only one. You can make as many copies of it as you want. There's news articles. You could copy that photo and put it up as your background on your computer.
For instance, you could make a fake Charizard card, like PSA 10 Charizard. It's only worth about $3.50.
Right.
Right? Because you just made a replica, but there's no, when you actually have the actual thing, it's worth so much.
Yeah, so you can copy. It's just that you need the letter of authenticity to really prove that you own this, which is basically what you're buying. That's what you're buying.
Wow. This is like modern day, paint forgery, where people would copy the Mona Lisa and then try and sell
it. It's all encrypted. So there's like a good luck trying to copy that.
Gosh.
Like, oh my God. Anyways, so Logan Paul. Because I got the story here. So Logan Paul, what he did was he's been hearing about all this NFT stuff. And this was probably about a month ago now. The interesting thing though, is that before this whole, because this whole NFT thing, Logan Paul was kind of the reason why this NFT thing it blew up in the social media space. He's the reason why, because he kind of learned about this and it's like, guys, think about this or look at this. And now everyone's kind of like, Logan Paul said NFTs. Oh
yeah. And he has big polls. So everyone now in Gary V and all these, like literally if you go on YouTube right now and search up NFT, everyone's doing a video about one.
Is TMS doing a video about one?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because
months ago we were planning on making a video about
it. You guys?
Literally shortly after this whole Beeple, the first round with the election post happened, we thought about, hey, what if we did this?
Yeah. Right?
What if we made
it? We could be one of the first creators to make a video and we would sell our B-roll sequence on the blockchain.
Yeah. So sell it as...
Because no other filmmaker I know of has thought about this or is doing this. Right?
And this is like months before Logan Paul had his whole... Yeah. thing of his, like him basically saying how, I don't know, cool they are.
Yeah.
So we had this idea, and literally the week before we were about to do it, Logan Paul posted his video about NFTs. And the thing about NFT, like, and so he basically just, like, everyone's like, NFT. Now NFTs are like the most popular thing in the world. And the thing about NFTs is that because they run on the blockchain, they're tied to Ethereum, there's like fees that go along with them.
Yeah.
And
the only reason we didn't do it is because in order to make an NFT, it costs Ethereum. Like you have to use Ethereum and spend it in order to make an NFT. Ethereum is an all-time high. So that means every single NFT that we would be making would cost us about $250 to make.
Oh my God.
And so we're like, well, because we had this thought of, we had this B-roll sequence and we're going to make a video and we're going to sell this B-roll sequence for $1 and just see if anybody buys it for $1. Make 100 copies for $1.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we really kind of looked into it, it got really expensive because in order for us to make them, make 100 of them, it would cost around $20,000 to make 100 of these NFTs. What? Now, the thing is though, is that we'd have to sell them to hopefully make a profit, so we don't lose a bunch of money. And the thing is though, so we'd have to sell them each for like $300-$350 at least, at the minimum. We don't have enough pull to be able to sell 300 items
or 100 items
at $300 a piece. So we're kind of like, it's not really worth it for us. We are not in this.
Especially if it's just going to be for this intangible object.
Exactly. Right? Like you're really not getting anything. We were kind of doing it more as the experimental side of being like, hey, buy this because, you know, it could potentially go up in value.
If you had done it before,
it would have been lower because the popularity, like there's something called gas fees, which kind of, they're basically the fees of like minting your piece of art. Mm-hmm. And there's some other fees in there too, but they fluctuate with the popularity. So if there's high demand, the prices go up. And Logan Paul posted his video, there was really high demand for NFTs. Yeah. Prices went to the moon.
I don't want to say that was also the whole reason that they went up, but it's also because Ethereum in general became very popular and is at an all time high, which means that it costs a lot of money to kind of do this. So we kind of like, we're like, I mean, it sucks. We were thinking about even making one, but I was thinking it would even be a challenge to sell one of these things.
Yeah. Who's going to spend that money?
Exactly.
So wait, what did Logan Paul do with NFTs?
Yeah, so he posted his video kind of announcing NFTs, and know how he's been really getting into Pokemon and trading Pokemon cards and opening all those boxes and stuff. He was going to do a launch of a an opening.
So yeah, what he did is he has this big thing where he's opening one of these big booster packs, which is like the big thing that he kind of riled everyone up for, and kind of opening one of these things on camera, which could hold, it's basically a big box of a bunch of little packages of cards, and it could hold up to 3 Charizards.
Right.
And so he was going to open one of these live, a brand new, basically an unopened first edition box, which cost him about $500,000. This box of Pokemon cards that he was going to open up live.
The box. Okay,
anyways, go on. And so what happened is, along with that launch of that box, he created NFTs to go along with it, being like, I'm selling these NFTs as well, which are kind of like collectible cards.
And all they were basically pictures of a Pokemon card with basically as if he was a Pokemon card. He made himself, his kind of like an avatar of himself as if he was a character of Pokemon, right?
Right.
And he sold each of these NFTs for 1 Ethereum. So around $2,200.
Oh.
Yeah. And he
made $3 million selling JPEGs in 48 hours.
No, he made $5 million.
$5 million?
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, he made $5 million just from selling his NFTs.
No way. Are you serious?
Here, I'm looking at this news article. Logan Paul sells $5 million worth of NFTs ahead of his Pokemon box break. And it goes on to talk about
how... And these are like collectible things. He's like, this is going to be history. Like, he's basically selling collectibles alongside this whole launch.
So he set out 3,000 NFTs to drop on the 19th. During their first day in the market, in one day he sold 1,700 of them for $2,200 basically.
Wow!
So he did for 2,200. If you times that by 1,700 in one day, he made $3.7 million.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
And this is just selling a photo on the internet.
That's insane.
I know. So like this is freaking wild. Anyways, and so like the whole kind of, I guess, whatever you call it, the whole like impact on what we would do is like, we still want to do this eventually, but we want to basically make it so we want to try selling a B-roll sequence on the blockchain and try to be one of the first filmmaking YouTubers or filmmaking people in the space to try to sell a piece of their work, like a B-roll sequence.
I bet you it's not going to be long until someone like Peter McKinnon even like, I don't know.
Matty Apoya, I could see doing it. Peter McKinnon, I don't know. He doesn't seem like that kind of like really into kind of the nitty gritty kind of crypto thing.
Yeah, but I bet you it's only a matter of time until one of those guys is like, oh, I'm going to release a photo on like NFT or on the blockchain.
It's a big thing for photographers. Also do is you can also kind of tokenize, this is what it's called when you make something into an NFT, but you can also do like any digital item. So you could do a YouTube video, like people have tokenized their YouTube videos. They have done.
Do you know who Justin Kahn is? He's the guy. He's kind of blown up on.
He's the founder of Twitch.
Yeah, the founder of Twitch. Do you remember what Justin TV is?
No.
So back in like 2013 or 2012, there was this guy who had this website called Justin.TV, and it was basically this 24-hour live stream of this guy who would wear a camera and it would basically just 24-hour live stream his life.
What?
Kind of interesting. What? But his name is Justin Kahn.
Well, this is back in 2011.
I just literally said it was back in 2012,
13. Sorry. Okay. I totally blanked out.
I know.
There.
How about you listen?
Okay.
So I could be wrong. It could be around 2011. But this guy, Justin, ended up making that website ended up turning into Twitch. So Twitch.tv.
Oh, no way. That's
so funny. And then it turned into the whole like gaming and stuff. Yeah. And anyways. At the end of the day, they sold Twitch for around $1 billion.
Oh, wow.
Just under $1 billion. And he's now doing just fine for himself.
Yeah.
But he is now on TikTok. And now he also has a YouTube channel. And he's making videos kind of about entrepreneurship and business and stuff and about his experiences in the business world. And he recently did a video on NFTs.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I watched the video and he is releasing that video talking about NFTs is now an NFT. So you can go buy that video about the NFTs as an NFT. And he's talking, just kind of goes on to the what the basics of NFTs are and how they could be useful and that kind of thing. So it's very interesting to see.
Yeah, so you can turn a bunch, like a lot of different stuff.
Yeah,
anything,
no kidding.
Anything digital, if you have the money to kind of do it.
How would you say I had a TikTok that I wanted to make an NFT. Is there like a website I go to?
So when we were looking at doing it, there's something called OpenSea.io, I think it's called. OpenSea is kind of the name of it. But you basically go on there, you can upload your artwork, and they basically tokenize your artwork for you.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. I've technically tokenized a photo. It's just that in order to get it into the marketplace where you can kind of, or in order to make it so you can actually sell it, you have to then, that's when you spend the Ethereum and all this money to kind of get it available for people to buy. But you can kind of technically tokenize it without actually selling it anywhere.
Right. So you could just have it for yourself.
Exactly. You can't really send it anywhere because you need to spend that money in order for it to get verified by the blockchain in order for people to actually change ownership.
How does it actually, like we were talking about the whole letter of authenticity.
Yeah.
So if I had a JPEG photo and I got it tokenized, would anything physically change on the file, or is it still just a JPEG?
No, I think it's more of like...
I'm pretty sure.
No, I think it's more of like there's an entry into the blockchain, which kind of says that this file with this name, with this metadata, is attached to this letter of authenticity.
Okay.
So the only thing that's actually really being verified on the blockchain is that letter of authenticity is just attached to a file.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about this as if we're experts. I know not as much as most people about NFT. Like,
I've done a little bit of research. But
so if you're
like,
listening to this, take what we say with a grain of salt. Do your own research if you're really...
I don't want this to be like...
This is for your entertainment only.
Yes. I don't want this to be like a year where people are like, oh my God, these guys are complete idiots. They had no idea what they were talking about. It's like, well, maybe. I don't know. I think I have a pretty solid grasp on what they are.
Yeah. But I'm very intrigued to see where this is going to go into the future, because like... obviously there's art in say the,
well, it'll in turn
museums
the deals
around the world that are caught like worth millions and millions of dollars. But they're physical and people can go see them. I wonder what, like in say 50 years from now,
I could definitely see
NFT museums.
Well, actually there is an NFT museum, but they're the things. No, I know. I saw this video about it and these people were talking about how there's like this, do you ever heard of the game called Second Life?
Yeah.
It was like back in the day, it was like you basically had an avatar and you lived your life. Someone's made a game like that where you can actually, for real money, buy museum space in this digital world. So people can go on there and look at your artwork. And
what?
You can display your artwork NFTs in this digital world, which theoretically is nothing tangible and it's all online.
That's so funny.
And I'm just thinking like, who the heck is stupid enough to do that? Like spend all this money for a digital, like rent out a digital space when you can just literally make more.
I mean, Beeple's got the funds to make that. He's like a modern day Banksy.
He kind of is, but
people know who he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I bet you if Banksy made an NFT,
goodness,
it would just smash Beeple's. Like I would honestly peg it at $150 million at least.
If he
literally took like the original artwork of
Girl with the Balloon,
or whatever that's called. And then, he released that. Considering his art right now, the physical art goes for $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 million dollars at auction.
Yeah.
And people, no one has a freaking clue who this guy is.
Yeah.
I think it would just smash.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Now, the only reason I would get into NFTs and like kind of like the only reason I would feel it's worth it is purely for the investment side.
Mm.
Because I'm not the kind of guy to be like, you know what? I want to spend $69 million on having this JPEG image that is often like that is authentic that I can look at on my computer screen when I can just go and get the same image off of for free.
Well, why would somebody, an art collector, go out and buy say an original Van Gogh when they can literally get like a canvas print of it?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not the kind of person to go spend $3 million on a physical piece of art, let alone $69 million on a digital piece of art. I'm not that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, I also don't have the means and the funds to do so. So I don't have disposable income that I can go and just waste on a piece of art. Not waste, but use on a piece of art. But I could see it being, the only reason I could see myself getting into NFTs in the near future is because, I see
an opportunity to make a bit of money. So I buy it, wait for it to go up in value, and then I sell it. Like, this is the, this is like one of the only situations where you can actually say buy stock in a YouTuber.
Because if you're not a publicly traded company.
Even if you're not public, because what you could do is, let's say there's a small YouTuber that has 20,000 subscribers.
They could tokenize their videos.
If they release an NFT and they say release it for $100 and you buy it, this is where the incentive is to actually buying it. But if they say have 20,000 subscribers and then they release an NFT for $100, you buy it. If they say blow up to like 5 or 6 million,
right,
that NFT from the early days is going to be worth a lot of money. Imagine getting an MKBHD, like if MKBHD made an NFT back in 2011 when he basically started.
Would it say as well, like, this NFT was made in 2000?
It would probably say the date on it. There's most likely date, and like, and also it would be known that, oh, I released an NFT back in 2011. Right. That was this.
So anyways, so MKBHD could release this NFT.
It's like having like an early
LeBron James rookie card. I don't really know what that is, but like, it just sounds like it'd be an old one.
Yeah, exactly. It's like having it before they blew up, that kind of thing. So
MKBHD makes this tokenized art, then you buy it. Nowadays, I'm sure I can guarantee that there'd be people who would buy it for quite a bit of money because they just like the guy and kind of like they want to collect something that is an MKBHD authentic from the early days thing.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's literally just another place to invest, stock market style kind of thing.
Exactly. It's another way place to invest. It's also another place.
Because it could go like, I mean, you make an NFT of a photo you took, it could increase in value or it could just tank.
Hey, think about it this way though. If we say tokenize, or if someone tokenized a piece of artwork and it turned into a meme, it blows up on Reddit in this entire, like,
let's say Bad Luck Brian was before it blew up, it turned into an NFT.
Yeah, the guy who made it turned into an NFT, then released it. He could then sell the original NFT once it's like one of these big memes for a lot of money
because it's so popular, right? And there's some guy out there who would pay $3 million to have the original Bad Luck Brian photo.
I mean, if he made one, was Bad Luck Brian like 2014? Yeah. Like I was gonna say that the whole thing, obviously, that NFTs rely on is like public awareness of like a need to have it. That's what creates the value. Exactly.
There's status there.
Yeah.
There's
entitlement. But then it's also, there's status behind the Mona Lisa. The only reason the Mona Lisa's actually worth anything is because people think it's worth something.
Yeah.
It's not Steven Kuchar original.
It's literally just an arrangement of paint on a canvas.
Right.
Right.
That's so interesting.
And also who made it is another big thing. Yes. Da Vinci made it, obviously. So it's like, oh, that's worth a lot of money. Right. Anything Da Vinci would touch is now worth lots of money. Yeah, so I remember having this idea like way like years ago before NFTs were even a thing of being able to buy stock in a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And I've always thought it'd be kind of interesting if like, because there'd be times when I would be on YouTube and I'd find this person who was making videos and I'm like, dang, these are good videos. And they've got like 20,000 subscribers. Right. And it's one of those things where it's like, oh, if I could buy stock, I would buy stock in XYZ YouTuber.
Right.
Because I feel like another way to, a bit of investment there, but also as another way to kind of like say I was here in the early days, right? And say, oh, I bought MKBHD stock when it was 12 cents. Now it's worth $300 or whatever. That's it's going to be.
Such an interesting idea.
Buy Dream stock at 20 subscribers. Like what?
Oh boy.
Exactly. You make a big return really fast, but it's one of those things where now you can kind of do that.
Yeah. A little bit.
It has it kind of is turning that into a bit of a reality. And
can a YouTuber like say Linus Tech Tips, I'm sure they're an incorporated company. I don't know if they're, can they be a publicly traded?
They could.
Company? But why would they?
Right.
So the only this is really getting into finance. Holy cow!
You can tell we go.
Maybe
to
we should just
school.
Cap this here. I don't know. If people want to
keep going. I think it's
interesting. The only reason people even sell stock in IPO, as it's called, initial public offering, is to make money.
Right.
It's the only reason, because you sell a portion of your company to the public for a certain amount of money.
Mm-hmm. And obviously with more money, you can build your business like Robinhood or whatever. It's going to go public pretty soon here. And they just need money so they can get money, hire more people, build the business. And
you use it more as like an endless feedback loop in order for yourself to make more money, to expand the business, to grow the stock price, to make more money, to expand the business around.
So, they could, but they don't need money. Linus Tech Tips doesn't need money.
Right.
Kind of off topic though. I just want to talk about this. Did you see Linus Tech Tips' video about making a gold Xbox controller?
No.
What?
Like a solid gold
He made a solid gold Xbox One controller.
How much did that
cost? Xbox, whatever the latest Xbox is, but he made a solid gold computer, or not controller, not computer.
Yeah.
And it took to make the solid gold thing that he did it in Vancouver, it took 1 kilogram of gold. And if you
what?
1 kilogram of gold right now goes for $69,000.
Wow. Whoa.
So he used 1 kilogram of gold that he got from the Canadian Mint, and he got it casted into an Xbox controller that actually functions and works.
Oh, it works?
Is How heavy is it?
It's 1 kilogram of gold. It's 1 kilogram.
So it's got all like the electronic components.
So yeah, what they did basically was they took the shell of the Xbox controller, took it apart, and then they casted that in whatever, so they could cast it in gold. So they basically just made the casing is gold, not the actual components, because the actual components are from an actual Xbox controller. But it's basically it's a solid gold, and you have to wear gloves when using it because the moisture from your hands and like the oils on your hands can taint the gold and make it less shiny, because they buffed it so it's like mirror finish.
Oh, that's funny. That's
and it's crazy. And Linus was like, he was kind of saying, he's like, oh, he made 3 videos about this. One of them was making it, one of them was the finishing of it, like making it was 2 parts, and then the reaction of all of his coworkers using it.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's kind of interesting. People are like, oh wow, look at this. And someone's and people are guessing how much it is, and they're guessing it like, I guess $3,000.
Right.
And they're like, oh, go up a bit. And like, oh, 5? And like, go up a bit. And then they're like, it can't be more than 10.
Oh my God.
And then he's like, it is $69,000. Wow. And people just start freaking out. They're like, what? This thing in my head is...
That's a nice car right there.
It's a really nice car. That's a whole person's 1 year salary.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to see the whole thing. And he made 3 videos and he's like, he literally said in the video, I'm trying to milk as much as I can out of this controller, because I got to make my money back. So it's kind of funny whole thing. So,
wow.
Yeah. Anyways, this whole NFT thing, it kind of stems off of crypto.
Sorry, that was really off topic.
Yeah, that was very off topic. I thought that was kind of
interesting. It was kind of interesting.
But this whole comes back, it goes to cryptocurrency. That's basically the root of this entire thing, which cryptocurrency, people either love it or hate it. There's different things, but I mean, we have a few interesting things about cryptocurrency that we could say. So way back in the day, before Ada 52, was it? Yeah, it was before Ada 52. We planned on making, around 2017, obviously, when cryptocurrency had its previous high.
Let me tell you how I kind of got into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, because I was the one who started it all in terms of our friend group and everyone who knows about it
Mitchell
now.
Mitchell was the instigator.
So I was, one day, came home from school. I made myself a nice snack, a bowl of cereal, and I was watching a YouTube video, and I was watching a VinWiki YouTube video, which is, if you don't know, VinWiki is a YouTube channel all about cars and kind of like car stories, and they're kind of interesting if you're into cars. And one guy on there, what he did is he made a video called he made a video titled The $150 Lamborghini. And I was like, the $150 Bitcoin Lamborghini. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. Yeah. And I remember hearing about Bitcoin before. I heard about it ages before, which is probably when I should have bought it. I heard about it before, but didn't think much of it. And I was just like, this Bitcoin thing. Interesting, whatever. Forgot about it. But I watched this video. And in this video, he talked about how he was an early adopter of Bitcoin and got into it, bought a couple Bitcoins or whatever. And he bought this Bitcoin, and then later on, he then sold the Bitcoin and used that money to buy himself, I think it was a $400,000 Lamborghini. And he did the math, and he said that Lamborghini technically costed him about $150.
Wow.
Because it was $150 worth of Bitcoin back when he first bought it, and now it went up in price, and now it is $400,000 worth of Bitcoin. And that was when Bitcoin was at 7,000 Canadian dollars. I remember after I watched that video, I was like, this is really interesting. So I searched up Bitcoin. Yeah. What is Bitcoin? Did all my research on it.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin was hovering around 7 grand. And that night I was like, oh, I should maybe buy some Bitcoin.
Right? Smart man.
I was like, kind of interesting. So what I did is I opened up a Coinbase account and I bought $100. I told Steven about it this time, and I was like, have you heard of this thing called Bitcoin? And Steven was like, oh, I heard about it a long time ago or whatever. Yeah. Anyways, didn't think much of it. And then a couple hours later, I was really thinking about it.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to buy.
$100.
I was 17 at the time. So $100 at 17 is still a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And it was, and so I bought into it. This was early 2017 or no.
When this is 2017 around December, November. It was November of 2017.
Yeah. And, so I put $100 into Bitcoin in this Coinbase account. And I was like, cool, great. And then I think Steven did the same or whatever. And then from there, I kind of like, I kind of, then I started telling everyone about it. I told you about it. I told all of our friends about it because we would all like meet up at lunchtime and I was like, guys, there's this new thing called Bitcoin. Get into it. If you like, and I was telling
everybody the pitch about it can make you money.
Everyone the pitch about Bitcoin and the spiel about what it could be and how it works and all this stuff. And I remember you bought into it.
You also had, you also put $100 in, I think.
I put in 175 in Bitcoin, but, and I put some more money in other things as well.
Okay, yeah, because I remember it was one of those things where we were telling people about it, but at that time,
Bitcoin was blowing up.
It was, it was on its bull run. So it was at like 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000.
So by the time I convinced you guys to buy some, it was around $24,000.
Yes. The all-time high.
The all-time high at the time back in 2017.
So, yeah, I remember thinking, I was like, oh, this is huge. You know what? But I did, okay, I put in, I think I put
in- you're in the green now.
Yes, years later. I put in, I think, $175 into Bitcoin. I also bought like I bought $75 worth of Litecoin, big mistake at this point, and like $50 of Ethereum or something like that. And when I bought it, it was just like literally going vertical at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so funny if you look now, I bought it, I think, at $25,000 Canadian dollars. And if you look at the Bitcoin graph now, I literally bought it like basically at the peak.
That literally a summit.
Before it just dropped all the way down until 2020, 2021.
Well, yeah, because it dropped all the way down from 20,000 at its lowest. Like I think it was a year later, it was at $3,000 a coin. And I was like, dang, if I had bought one.
I should have done that too.
Just should have done, bought one, but you'd be okay.
When you're there, you're like, ah, oh, it's not going back.
I know, you think, you're thinking that it's never going to go back up again.
There was one point though, it was so funny. We had, at our school, we had a, it's called a winter formal. And it's kind of just like a winter themed dance. And like the girls ask the guys to the dance and that kind of thing. And instead of dancing, our friend group, there's like me, Mitch, Steve. We were
fattest nerds on the planet.
Our friend Jake. I remember this so clearly. Our friend Jake was there as well. And a couple other people. And we're like, you got to buy Bitcoin. And
this is when, this is when it was, when it kind of dropped down a bit because it like went
It went down to 16,000.
Yeah, it went down to 16,000. You have to buy now. And our friend Jake, who was at the, at the winter forum, was like, okay, I will. And he's panicking, literally.
Serious
like,
FOMO?
Literally, like the most serious case of FOMO I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And he, I guess his debit card doesn't allow him to do online transactions. Yeah, and you need to have online transactions to be able to buy Bitcoin in Coinbase. So he's literally phoning his mom in the middle of this.
The middle of the dance floor.
Literally the middle of the dance floor at the middle of this dance. And he's like, mom, I need your credit card because I got to buy some Bitcoin. Please, mom. Yeah. Thank you. Yep. Thank you. And then he did buy some, I think.
Yeah. He bought like 100, 150 bucks or something. Because at the time we're like, it's at 16,000. It's only going to go up.
Yeah.
Of course.
Stocks only go up.
Went down to $3,000. I wonder if he still has this. I don't know.
I hope probably. Everybody I know, I think, has held on to it.
Yeah. Well, I thought like, why not? Also, when I bought,
it's also it's sunk cost at that point.
Like, well, when I bought, you gotta have the right mindset when you're buying kind of crypto. Because when I bought it, I assumed I was never gonna see the money again, and that was it.
I mean, the golden rule here is only spend money you're willing to lose.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's like, good.
And also, the interesting thing about Coinbase at the time was that you in Canada you couldn't sell even if you wanted to.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, you knew this, I think.
I forgot.
At the time, back in 2017, Coinbase in Canada would like you could only buy Bitcoin. So you could buy it and hold on to it, but if you wanted to sell, it wouldn't let you because selling wasn't allowed yet.
Oh.
But so you're forced to hold on.
So you're literally forced to hodl.
Diamond hands.
And so even if you wanted to sell, you couldn't. We knew that it was coming later down the road, so I wasn't too scared. And also, if you really wanted to sell, you could transfer it out of Coinbase, go to an exchange, and then do it there. And it was just kind of interesting. So you couldn't sell even if you wanted to. I remember one day I was sitting in physics class.
Yeah.
Josh was sitting next to me.
Yeah.
And he also kind of got into crypto at the time or whatever. And he's one of those guys that really likes to get into it.
Yeah.
And, so he bought some, I bought some. And I remember that day I bought one single Litecoin.
Oh yeah.
I bought it at $75.
That's pretty good.
Which is pretty decent.
Yeah.
And I remember that day that was when it had its peak, and it's like, it had its little bubble where it skyrocketed up to $500 a coin. And I remember sitting in physics class refreshing every like 5 minutes, and it would go up, 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 up. And I was like, I couldn't sell if I wanted to. So I'm literally watching this thing, this roller coaster happen, and I can't do anything. Now Litecoin, I think, is around $250 or something.
Yeah.
So still decent investment.
Yeah.
So
our plan was to make a Bitcoin, when this was all happening, we planned on making a Bitcoin video for our YouTube channel, because we're like, this is one of the hot topics, and we're going to do a video. It would have been a horrible video.
Oh, no.
But we basically would sit together and kind of discuss what it is, because it was one of those things where nobody knew what it was. Like, I think it's kind of mainstream now, especially in the younger demographic. And so we kind of got together, and we're doing this thing kind of like an interview style, where we kind of tell each other what it is and educate the masses on what Bitcoin is.
Yeah, this was before Out of 52. This was right around when we did that Ponzi scheme video.
Yeah, we were kind of on that investigative journalism kick.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing we wanted to do is we heard about in Kelowna at one of these, at a bar/restaurant, there was an actual Bitcoin ATM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went out to there and bought $20 worth of Bitcoin. It's now sitting in a Coinbase account somewhere, and it's probably that $20 is probably worth around $80 right now.
Gotta find that.
First one who can find it has it.
I think I had the password saved somewhere.
Oh, Mitch.
Yeah,
that video was a...
Video never saw the light of day, because we basically recorded that video, and then at that point Bitcoin plummeted, and everyone's kind of morale plummeted as well.
The hype on Bitcoin totally died.
Yeah, exactly. The hype died. Yeah,
totally
died.
Let's not.
The hype on Bitcoin changed from, oh my God, Bitcoin's the next best thing, to what the frick is it? What are you? Yeah. You're buying into Bitcoin? This is a big scam.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Exactly. And so, that's basically how it went, and then we didn't make that video.
Yep.
But I mean, it was worth a shot. I think it would have been a cool video if we uploaded it at a timely manner and we were still on the uptrend of
it. Mm-hmm. Would be, yeah. And also, we would be probably one of the, like, in Bitcoin now, everyone, like, there's tons of videos on Bitcoin. At the time, there wasn't a ton.
I'm gonna make a quick offhand prediction and say that in 6 months, I bet you Apple will announce they've bought Bitcoin.
Oh yeah,
just saying. So? Like, what? Can someone explain the Tesla buying Bitcoin to me?
So Tesla, I didn't really get that. So Tesla, back in November, December, a few months ago, they bought Bitcoin, which is a huge thing because they're a Fortune 500 company, and they publicly said that they're buying Bitcoin and holding it. And as soon as that happened, Bitcoin went bananas and went.
Went up like 10,000 Canadian.
Exactly. So they invested, I think it was $1.5 billion into Bitcoin and bought, I think it was like around 40,000. And so, but they kind of bought it, then kind of held it for a few weeks, and then
They held it for a while before they announced that they had any.
Yeah. And so they release this, but this is one of those big things, which is basically the domino effect of, now that this Fortune 500 company has done this, how long until the next people do this? Because Tesla made doubled their money overnight.
Well, heard the statistic. Tesla made more money off of them holding Bitcoin than they did from all the profits of selling all their Teslas in the entire year.
What?
They made more money just from holding their Bitcoin than they did from selling all of their cars in that year.
So anyways, so now this is a big signal to a lot of other companies to start buying Bitcoin as an investment.
And Tesla, shortly after announcing that they had Bitcoin, they then announced that they were soon going to accept Bitcoin for payment. So you could buy your Tesla with Bitcoin.
And so it's rather interesting.
It's only a matter of time until Apple or...
Because these technology companies are kind of looking towards the next thing of the future, Web 3.0, as people call it, which is basically kind of like the new way of doing finance and all this kind of stuff. And it's going to be interesting to see in the next few years where it goes and who adopt it. Because it's just now getting more mainstream, which means that more people are kind of gaining confidence in it, buying it, and the price is probably going to... Yeah. I've heard... It's riskier to not own any Bitcoin than owning Bitcoin itself.
Oh, wow.
Because the positive potential upside is drastically greater than the possible negative. Like the downside.
I'm just going to take a quick pause here. I'm just going to say this so it's recorded for later use, but Bitcoin is at a price of $74,625.52 as of March 14th, 2021. Mm. Ethereum is $2,323.64, and Litecoin is $272.05.
and Ripple's at 56 cents. Wow. I'm just saying that just so it's recorded so that a year from now, three years, four years, when I
listen, holy cow, I should listen to this podcast,
I know.
Then I can be like kicking myself.
Have you guys bought any more since that fateful dance?
Yes.
Really?
I have.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to disclose, but it's...
Well, I mean, how recently though? Or what price did you buy it at? That's a better
question.
I've
been buying monthly.
Holy.
For the last 3 months.
Okay.
Four months. And then, but before that, there was a few purchases beforehand.
Have you sold any?
No, but I'm going to say that I have more than people suspect. That's all I'm going to say.
You too, Mitch?
Not nearly as much as Steven.
Oh, wow. Steven's the...
He's the big baller here.
Holy. I might have to revisit. We'll see.
Anyways, I mean, now, like, I was also... Because I was buying for a year. A year ago, I was buying kind of pretty regularly when it was around $16,000, $17,000.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Very nice of me.
Wow.
Anyways, not going to say how much it is. No. But yeah, I think, I don't know. Do we have anything else to say on it?
I have one more story, which I thought was kind of interesting. Is I remember watching, there's this, I'm on YouTube one day. And in my recommended, this YouTube video pops up and it was talking, and there was this guy, I can't remember the title of the YouTube video or anything, but all it was titled was "Buy Bitcoin." I'm pretty sure this is what it was titled. I looked at the date of it when it was uploaded and it said it was uploaded, I think it was 10 years ago or 9 years ago it was uploaded. Mm. I was like, this has got to be interesting.
What?
Right? So I look at it and this guy, he's literally sitting there. And he's got his janky webcam on. He's just literally like, and he's talking about Bitcoin. He's like, oh, there's this new thing called Bitcoin. It's on the blockchain. You do this and it's not like real. It's digital currency. It's all this stuff. And he's talking about it. He's like, and he said, he's literally begging people on the video, buy Bitcoin.
What?
Buy
Bitcoin. It was around like, I think it was like $50 when he made that video.
Well, yeah, this video was uploaded, I think in 2011 or 2010.
Wow.
It was cheap.
It was really cheap. And it was, wow. Yeah. And he's like, he's literally begging people to buy Bitcoin or something. And then I go to the comments and the comments are so interesting because people in the comments are like, they're like, this man was on top. This guy knows what's up.
Yeah.
I should have listened. And like, there's literally, and then there's, I saw some other comments that were from when the video was posted that said, I bought some. And then there's replies to that comment now in this day and age being like, you smart man.
Yeah. What?
And everyone's like, and be like, this guy is probably a millionaire. People are saying this guy is so well off now and whatever. Because obviously if you're making a video about Bitcoin back in 2009, you have more than just 0.000025 of a Bitcoin. You actually probably put some actual money into it.
We probably got more than one.
Oh, exactly. He definitely has more than one.
If like $1,000 worth or something.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so I was like, dang, if only this thing was recommended to me about...
Yeah, and then there's
you're about 9 years too late.
When I was in grade six.
Yeah, literally.
Emptied my piggy bank.
I always think about that. Like, if I was in grade six and I knew about Bitcoin, would I buy into it? I'm like, how hard would it be for me to do that? Like,
probably really hard.
Oh, probably $100 for me at grade six.
Back in 2010, 2011, you couldn't actually buy it anywhere, or it was significantly harder to buy it. You had to mine it.
Mm. Oh yeah,
because another story. Well, I'm just saying you had to mine it, which means, but mining is not as difficult as it is today. Look, you could use your desktop computer, mine it, and make like 3 or 4 Bitcoin in a day.
Yeah,
I wish
at one point in time.
Yeah,
I saw this thing on Reddit. Two things on Reddit. This is like this one of them is like a famous Reddit post, and this guy. It was about this guy who bought pizza with Bitcoin. Like he bought pizza with $100 worth of Bitcoin back in 2010 just to test it out. People did the calculation that Bitcoin right now is worth about $100 million.
Oh my gosh.
So that pizza was a $100 million pizza.
Wow.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh man, if only you'd held on to it.
We didn't hold on to it.
Well, no, because he paid for the pizza with Bitcoin and he ended up, I think he paid for it with 10,000 Bitcoins or something. Which is like ridiculous now. No. This is back in 2010 or 9 or whatever it is, early days. And another thing that I saw is this kid was telling about his Bitcoin story. And he was saying back in high school, what he would do is after hours, they would sneak into the computer lab in the high school and they would run Bitcoin miners on all the school computers.
Yeah.
And he said we did this for about 2 weeks. He said they got about... I think he said a couple Bitcoin, they got about like, I'm going to say about 10 Bitcoins.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's like, we got in, got out. No one knew we were ever there for 2 weeks. And did this all after hours, after school. And,
That's a quick $1 million.
Right? I know. And then I'm not sure if he, I can't remember whether the story went, he still has it on a hard drive somewhere or he has it or he lost it.
Oh but my God.
He's just saying, he's like, oh yeah, at one point in time, I was in possession of 10 Bitcoins or whatever it was.
Well, there's a clap.
And he used his school computer lab to mine it all. There's a classic story where this guy years ago, I guess, mined Bitcoin and put them all in this hard drive or this encrypted drive.
Oh yeah.
The thing is though, he lost the password.
Oh my God.
So he calculated, he has something like,
$450 million
in Bitcoin. $450 million in Bitcoin
today
on this drive, and this drive is set up so after 10 failed password attempts, it deletes all the data. He has 2 attempts left.
Yeah,
and this is out of a movie. This is literally out of a movie. And so what he's done is he said to like someone like the FBI or anybody, he's like, "I will give you a third of my Bitcoin
if you
can help me crack."
I think
code.
He said a half. I'll give you half.
Which I mean, like that's a cool $200 million.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Yeah, literally. And but he's like, yeah, because I guess he tried once, failed. And then, yeah, he's got 2 attempts left and he's literally begging
anyone.
That would
be the most anxiety inducing thing ever. You're like, almost a billionaire, but you can't access the money.
Yeah, it is. Pretty interesting. So,
wow.
I mean, yeah, I think Bitcoin is one of those things where you're just kicking yourself. You should probably get into it a lot.
I know. I'm going to listen to this in 3 years and be like, I should have put in
$3,000.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. 75K or whatever it is now.
Gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All those prices were in Canadian dollars that I was talking about. Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Anyways, if you're listening to this, we'd like to hear your Bitcoin story. So maybe, I don't know, DM us, tweet us, all that stuff.
Go do some video. I want to get more people doing like voice messages on Anchor.
Yeah.
We haven't had a lot of people do that. Yeah. We had one, also, which we're going to answer maybe in the next episode.
I think we're going to try and do also a Q&A one of these
that'd be good.
Future episodes. So if you have a question that you want us to answer, it doesn't even have to be Bitcoin or anything. It can be about anything.
Yeah.
Anchor has a voice message feature where you can go on and leave a message. And then I think we're also going to probably post on our story and get a couple more questions through there. But try the voice message thing out because we want to try it out. Also, go follow our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Also, go leave us a rating because that's really helpful. Go follow us on all of our social medias. Pretty much it's TMS Productions pretty much everywhere, or it's TMS Productions _. You'll find us. We're there. And I think I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye.